Podcast Unige.
Hello and welcome. I'm Gabriel Real de Asua, and this is Lifelong Learning at Unige, a podcast by the University of Geneva's Center for Continuing and Distance Education. In this new episode, I will be taking over from our usual host, Dr. Raphael Zaffron, to talk to him about what seems to be all over the media and on everyone's lips these days, ChatGPT. The advent of artificial intelligence, or AI, has enabled numerous innovations in different fields, and education is no exception. Educational chatbots, especially AI-powered chatbots such as ChatGPT, are revolutionizing the way we learn and interact with information. Since its introduction to the public, ChatGPT has become a worldwide phenomenon and has generated both awe and fear with its sheer computing power. The disruption that ChatGPT is causing within the educational sector recalls the lukewarm reactions of many seasoned educational practitioners and academics toward the arrival of the internet and the advent of Wikipedia. At the time, many perceived the near immediate access to information as threatening the very essence of good quality, human-conducted research. Today, similar questions arise. Should the use of ChatGPT and other AI-powered apps be regulated? If so, how, by whom, and with what underlying pedagogical vision? These questions aside, we are living through an unprecedented disruptive revolution that could lead, or force, us to reinvent how education and training is conceptualized and operationalized. That said, where do we, as educational practitioners, stand? Should we fear the ChatGPT wave? Or surf on it? How can we anticipate the future to adapt our current practices? Today, we are turning to Dr. Zaffron, who has just published an article on this fascinating topic in News Special magazine, a publication for the staff of Geneva-based international organizations. This podcast is a great opportunity to consider the main questions around ChatGPT as of this spring 2023, and discuss how professionals in education can approach this emerging issue. Dr. Raphael Zaffron, a very special welcome to Lifelong Learning at Unige.
Thanks, Gabriel. It's both strange and fun to be on this side of the microphone for once.
I bet. And I will do my best in replacing you as host. Right. Let's get started with today's first question. For those of us who might be less familiar with ChatGPT, can you give us a brief description of how it works and how it might be applied to educational contexts?
Yes, so ChatGPT is a natural language processing system based on artificial neural networks. It was developed by OpenAI, an artificial intelligence research organization, and is based on the Generative Pre-trained Transformer Language Model, GPT. And this model is trained on large amounts of text data, which allows it to understand and generate natural language. Now, most people are familiar with the version that shocked the world in November 2022. This version was based on OpenAI's GPT-3 family of large language models. But as you may know, its successor, GPT-4, was released in March of this year, 2023, and really took things to the next level. It can process, for example, about 8 times as many words as the previous version, and it can respond to images. For example, you can ask it to generate captions for a given image if you're not really inspired, which can be quite convenient. And OpenAI claims that the new model is about 40% more likely to produce factual responses. Whether or not that's actually true remains to be seen.
Okay, and how can it be used in educational contexts?
Well, when it comes to education and training, ChatGPT can be used within what we call learning designs in a range of ways. I guess the first obvious dimension that comes to mind is research assistance. ChatGPT can, for example, analyze students' or researchers' search queries and help them save time in their research. ChatGPT can also be useful to proofread texts, as it can easily identify grammatical and spelling errors. I really like that dimension because I believe that it can contribute to leveling the playing field for students who may not all have a support system to help them proofread their written assignments, especially those, for example, who are whose language, first language is not French or English, depending on where you are. And then I guess, of course, what is scaring a lot of people is the fact that ChatGPT is pretty good at generating content. Of course, when it comes to student assignments, the risk of cheating then should not be minimized. And I'm sure we'll have a chance to talk a bit about it later. But content generation also means that ChatGPT can help teachers generate educational content such as exercises, quizzes, new types of assignments, and tests. And of course, you know, these initial ideas or these initial sort of content generated by ChatGPT will then have to be refined depending on pedagogical objectives. But I guess we could say that ChatGPT can really help teachers, students overcome that blank page syndrome. But any content creation assisted by ChatGPT should be combined with your own critical skills and approach.
So I'm guessing it could address writer's block as well then, no?
Right, exactly. Absolutely. I think that is the way it should be seen. Rather than an end in itself and just taking the content created, the first sort of draft created by ChatGPT as the draft that you submit to your professor, your teacher, or even your boss, I guess.
Okay, so you've raised some positive aspects, but what other benefits do you see in terms of the use of ChatGPT on education and training?
Yes, so following up from one element I just raised about leveling the playing field, I think one key potential benefit of using ChatGPT in education, provided it is used adequately, is this notion of accessibility. ChatGPT can potentially make education more accessible by allowing students to access information anytime, anywhere. Educational chatbots can be used at home, at school, or even outside of school to provide continuing education on the go. And ChatGPT can therefore provide students with a sort of permanent personal tutor they can ask questions to. Now, there's not enough data so far to say for sure, but ChatGPT and other tools could therefore possibly have a positive impact on learning efficiency and possibly on reducing stress among teachers.
Right. And, well, similar hopes existed when the internet arrived in our lives, and then more recently with tools like Wikipedia. So there are some caveats that exist, right?
Right. I mean, as you know, the phenomenon of fake news and now deep fakes suggests that mere access to information and knowledge is not enough. It must exist alongside education to media and information literacy, which is actually one of the Council of Europe's recommendations to deal with propaganda, misinformation, and fake news. And we can actually also think of the European Union's proposed Artificial Intelligence Act, which was recently actually revised to take into account generative AI such as ChatGPT and try to limit its risks. So that text should come into force by 2024. And what it does is that it proposes an authorization system for those tools that is similar to what exists already for medical drugs. And that legislation will be the first legislation of its kind in the world related to AI. I guess a second caveat that I put specifically regarding ChatGPT is whether or not OpenAI, the organization that's behind it, will continue to offer a free, open-to-all version. We already see now that GPT-4 is only sort of accessible to subscribers to a monthly plan, or it seems at a small fee that gives you the ability to ask a limited number of questions or what they call prompts.
ChatGPT seems to scare educational practitioners. So what are its shortcomings and the risks that are involved in using it?
Well, first and foremost, I'd say that one of the biggest limitations of ChatGPT is that it is a machine learning algorithm that operates based on predefined data and algorithms. So it will always be as good as the data it was trained on. And therefore, this can lead to incomplete and possibly biased answers when you ask questions to ChatGPT. For example, the version that used to run on GPT-3 until mid-March 2023 came with a disclaimer that ChatGPT was trained on data dating from 2021 and would therefore have limited knowledge of post-2021 events. Now, more worryingly to me is that though this seems to have improved a little bit with GPT-4, ChatGPT is not reliable when it comes to generating adequate citations and bibliographic resources. In fact, if you search this issue online, you will actually come across a lot of complaints by users that say that that actually ChatGPT sometimes generates completely fabricated citations, which actually look extremely real. So it's very confusing. And it can be also dangerous if you think about all the academics that might want to use ChatGPT for their research. So this issue actually has been referred to as hallucination, and OpenAI continues to list this issue among the limitations that have yet to be resolved completely.
Beyond this issue of hallucination, which is fascinating, by the way, let's go back to cheating, which you raised earlier.
Well, actually, yeah, and the issue of, just to finish on this issue of hallucination, it is indeed fascinating because it seems to be that it is a shortcoming, but it is actually the resulting from what makes ChatGPT so good. It's because it's actually trying to get things from its data and make sense of it. But of course, with sort of bibliographic resources, that doesn't work. But yes, so one of the, like you said, that the biggest concerns among educational providers is indeed that ChatGPT and I should always say other similar tools, because we will see a lot of these new tools coming up. They will, in fact, facilitate the research and content creation processes too much. And as a result, I guess the fear is that it will inevitably rob students of their motivation, their creativity, their critical thinking, while, and this is, I guess, the main issue that concerns teachers in particular, while it might normalize a culture of widespread cheating and plagiarism.
So it's not just a risk of becoming lazy.
No, it really is that I guess it will lead students to think that ChatGPT is their personal research assistant and that it's actually okay to generate most of content through ChatGPT. And to be frank, this concerns me too. As educational providers, we were not ready for this. And in the end, this is really about trust. When you think about the forced move to full distance learning during the COVID pandemic, this really had led to a relative acceptance about the interest of some degree of distance learning. And the advent of ChatGPT is already calling this paradigm shift into question, and is forcing us to really ponder over what learning is for and what learning should look like. I see, I guess, two additional limits with ChatGPT in its current form. One, the so-called personalized learning experience that strong advocates of ChatGPT put forward is in fact quite limited. ChatGPT is not able to adapt to a student's specific needs the way a human teacher can. And delegating too much to ChatGPT in terms of student feedback and support presents the risk of student isolation, which we saw that it led to catastrophic consequences in terms of mental health during the COVID pandemic. And last but not least, we never talk enough about ethical and privacy concerns, and we never talk enough about the environmental impact of these new technologies. ChatGPT collects and stores data on user interactions and performance, which can raise questions about who has access to this data and how it will be used down the line by corporate and government interests. And ChatGPT's main source of energy consumption lies in the data centers deployed to run the service, and therefore represents a very heavy carbon footprint that should not be neglected and should not be forgotten.
Given what we've just discussed, what are some of your recommendations on using ChatGPT in educational contexts?
Well, look, in the end, ChatGPT is already being used in educational contexts, whether we like it or not. And ChatGPT is but one out of the many similar AI-based tools that already exist and that aim to automate or accelerate certain existing tasks. So my first recommendation, which we're trying to apply to ourselves here at the University of Geneva Center for Continuing and Distance Education, is for educational institutions to invest time and resources to stay on top of AI-related tools, to understand the limitations of ChatGPT and similar tools, and to best accompany their instructors in choosing which tools can and should be integrated within pedagogical designs and how. Therefore, we do recommend that educational practitioners work towards trying to integrate and work alongside those tools rather than attempting to ban them, as we may have seen in some institutions in the US. Having said that, I do believe that ChatGPT and similar tools will never be able to do some of the things that humans do and to replace the value of human interaction and personal attention that a teacher can provide. Instructors, therefore, should be confident in their added value in terms of student support and coaching in the classroom, and they will play a key role in raising awareness and training students about possible ethical concerns around privacy, around data protection, and around that sort of corporate influence that comes with AI-based tools, as well as the sort of the major shortcomings that we talked about earlier, such as the issues related to inaccurate or fabricated citations.
Yes, and now back to the big one. There are, of course, concerns of cheating and plagiarism.
Well, yeah, there are ways to address them as well, but it requires to rethink a little bit how we approach course design, including assessment means. First, those course evaluations, if I may say, should try to focus on skill development, which will be crucial as students enter the world of work post-graduation. These include hard skills, such as data analysis, coding, project management, research or graphic design, but also soft skills, such as communication and public speaking, teamwork, empathy, leadership and emotional agility. these are not skills that today can be taught by a machine, by AI. So we should really try to focus on those. Operationally, very concretely, I guess, this involves designing assignments that are meaningful. And this can be done by incorporating two things. First, a degree of what we call experiential learning. This is, for example, working on case studies, taking part in role plays, interacting with a given field's professionals, undertaking internships within an institution, etc. And second, this can be done by doing much more of what can be referred to as multimodal evaluations, which consists of combining, for example, written assignments with other productions, such as podcasts, such as videos or visuals, such as mind maps or infographics. For instance, to be very concrete, you can think of a classic take-home assessment that initially consists of answering an essay question, for example. And a multimodal evaluation of doing that would involve asking the student to also provide a mind map demonstrating his or her research process, research thinking, and or adding to that a short audio commentary to introduce the paper and its key takeaways.
Speaking of takeaways, we're now approaching the conclusion of our discussion. But before that, since we are a lot about this at the Center for Continuing and Distance Education, what are some future jobs that you see emerging in AI related to ChatGPT?
Well, ultimately, the AI revolution is here to stay and will likely continue to surprise us in ways we cannot even imagine. That's usually the way it goes with technology. And I understand this realization has generated fears across the board, including fears that some jobs may be replaced by the machine or transformed. But in terms of future jobs, the advent of ChatGPT and other similar tools is actually opening interesting perspectives in terms of jobs that involve human AI collaboration, such as the job of AI whisperer, or also called AI prompt engineer, which has been referred by the Washington Post as tech's hottest new job.
Ooh, AI whisperer. Tell us more.
Well, this emerging job, if you actually search it online, you see that there are actually a lot of offers across the world for that job. It basically shows that it's not enough to have a tool like ChatGPT. Being able to prompt or ask the right questions and sequence of questions and co-constructing content with the machine will actually become a key skill and an important job on the market. The idea of such a job just a few years ago, maybe just 3 or 5 years ago, would have seemed complete science fiction or something taken out of an Isaac Asimov novel.
That's fascinating. I think I've got some insights on where my kids can can take their careers.
Absolutely.
Well, finally, I get to ask the question you ask to all guests on this podcast. What are two books that have inspired you and that you would recommend to our listeners?
Thanks. Well, in fact, I would really recommend Isaac Asimov's books to anyone. Both his Robot series, obviously, which actually tackle a lot of the questions that we have on dealing with AI and dealing with machines and human AI collaboration, but also his Foundation series books. It's quite remarkable, again, how relevant these books still are, considering they were written in the mid-20th century, and they are fun to read. For something more recent, I can also recommend the book AI 2041, 10 Visions for Our Future, which was co-written by Kai-Fu Lee, who is an AI expert, and Chen Qiufan, who's a leading writer of speculative fiction, and the combination is really interesting. And actually, there is a chapter where they talk about tools like ChatGPT.
Thanks. We'll put the references in the notes of the episode. And thanks for accepting to be guest of your own podcast, and of course, for all the insights you shared with us today.
Thank you, Gabriel.
And a big thank you to our colleagues, Michel Raymond, for the technical work, as well as Tobias Verdi and Loris German for the broadcasting work around the episodes. Stay tuned for the next episode, and thank you for listening to Lifelong Learning at UNIGE, the podcast of the Center for Continuing and Distance Education of the University of Geneva. Podcast UNIGE.